The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Aaron Rodgers has wants. Aaron Rodgers has needs. And the Green Bay Packers have told us repeatedly they don't care about them. And guess what? I still don't think they care. And that's why Aaron Rodgers, in my mind, is going to be a Packer this fall, whether he likes it or not. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. You can also check it out on the ESPN app and SiriusXM Channel 80. I'm Jason Fitz, sitting in for Max. You guys can hang out, you can disagree with us, or you can kumbaya, and we can have a big love session. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You know it, the Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join us on the Goodyear Hotline, and yep, it's all about Aaron.
Listen, it is going to take a miracle for Aaron Rodgers to play quarterback for the Green Bay Packers.
I love Aaron Rodgers, don't get me wrong. When it's time to go, it's time to go. You can't let one sour apple spoil the rest of that because he doesn't want to be there.
It's easy to talk about what Aaron Rodgers wants. But think about the actions of the Green Bay Packers over the last several seasons. You go into the draft, what do? Whatever they feel like. They draft what they think they need, no matter what Aaron Rodgers thinks they need to do. If you look at what they did this year in the draft, even with all of the news breaking about what Aaron Rodgers is going to insist upon, what they do, sure wasn't draft him a weapon. Why? Because the Packers do what they think they need to do for their organization. The Packers are looking out for themselves. And just as they've done that all along, I think that's what they're going to do as we get closer and closer to this fall. See, we like to make things big and dramatic. We like our new Dak Prescott, right? Like that last summer, we could spend every single day talking about Dak. Now we can spend every single day talking about Aaron Rodgers, just like we spent every single day telling you leading up to free agency that it was going to be a different period than we've ever seen with more quarterback movement than ever. We get pulled in to these avalanches of drama when reality sometimes is much simpler. And the reality here is a simple one. Aaron Rodgers may not want to play for Green Bay, but there's no indication that Green Bay needs to care about that. Now, part of this is going to come back to the constant updates we get from people that have been around him. And if you talk to former Green Bay Packer fullback John Kuhn, who knows him well, this is the quote about Aaron Rodgers and whether or not he wants to play. The quote is, "He's conflicted because this man loves to play the game of football. This man loves to be a Green Bay Packer, and this man truly sees careers." He said this on the Zach Gelb Show. His quote, "He's watched friends leave. He's watched Brett Favre's career toward the end. He watched all these things play out in front of his eyes. He's taken notes throughout his career. He's seen some situations that didn't feel were done or finished the way they could or should have." Sure, he's absolutely conflicted. I get that. He may be conflicted about whether or not he wants to play for Green Bay, but there's no conflict for Green Bay. What possibly could the Packers be given that would make it make sense to let Aaron Rodgers walk away? Seriously, because if you think about it, what did they tell you last year? They told you as an organization last year that what they care about the most is building their team their way. By the way, 13-3 back-to-back seasons, they've done pretty well. Now, they built the organization their way, and they have their plan. But part of their plan was to bring Jordan Love along slowly. Now, if they didn't care about Aaron Rodgers when they started this plan, somebody tell me why they care about Aaron Rodgers now that they're one season into it. A season that didn't have normal OTAs. A season that didn't have normal practices. A season that didn't have the opportunity to integrate players the way you normally would into the locker room, the culture, and the professionalism that it takes to be an NFL player. None of that existed for Jordan Love. So now, Jordan Love, in the weirdest season you could possibly imagine, gets one strange season to prepare himself to be the starting quarterback. And the people I've talked to that I think are plugged in well to the Packers organization seem to disagree about whether or not the Packers are actually confident in where Jordan Love is. And that's the most important part of the reason that Aaron Rodgers will still be the quarterback of the Packers. See, they can't take the egg on the face. They already took the egg on the face once, right? You already took all of the heat that came with drafting Jordan Love and making Aaron Rodgers mad. You took all that heat. And now, if you let Aaron Rodgers go somewhere else and you're forced to put Jordan Love on the field early and he's not ready, all that heat turns to a blazing fire. If that's what happens here, if Jordan Love is put on the field and he's not ready to go, And Aaron Rodgers immediately goes somewhere else where he will have some level of success because he's the reigning MVP and he's darn good. Oh, man, that's a level of egg on the face. That's a kick to the ego that NFL teams are never going to take. Never. So if you're the Packers, unless you can get a starting quarterback in that's going to help bridge the gap, but even at that, you're going to have to answer for why you need it. See, every opportunity for Aaron Rodgers to go somewhere else leads to questions the Packers aren't ready to answer. And that is something that they're not going to deal with. Conversely, also, let's remember, what power does Aaron Rodgers have in this conversation? I mean, what's he going to do? Pay back a bunch of the guarantees? Because according to some reports, he could have to pay back as much as $30 million. He going to write a check to sit at home? Maybe. But if I'm playing chicken with somebody, if I'm trying to figure that out, boy, I feel like I got opportunity on my side. Because as has been reported by multiple people around the Packers in Green Bay, fans are already starting to boo his commercials. Fans will be on the side of the Packers long term. It'll be Aaron Rodgers, the traitor. Now, of course, everybody has an opinion on it, which includes Brett Favre, Hall of Fame quarterback. He was on ESPN Wisconsin. They asked him what he would like to, They asked him, what would you like to see him do? This is what Brett Favre said.
I'd like to see him win a Super Bowl in Green Bay, another one. The thing is, life's too short. I want him to be happy. He's been there as long as I was there, and I know what that means. And he's put up unbelievable numbers. Win another Super Bowl, and then do what you want to do, whether it's keep playing, play somewhere else, whatever. But win one more in Green Bay and go out the way you want to go out. You don't want to go out this way.
Now, it's the Max Kellerman Show, by the way, on ESPN Radio. Jason Fitz filling in. You guys can tweet me if you disagree, at Jason Fitz. You can also call the show, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I don't know why we care what Brett Favre thinks about all this. I'm going to be really clear about that. I mean, Brett Favre, the same person that basically hamstrung the Packers as he tried to figure out if he wanted to play or didn't want to play every single year. We all remember watching ESPN constantly trying to figure out what the hell Brett Favre was going to do. So I'm not sure why we're asking him about how this should be handled, given the fact that he didn't seem to care about anything other than what he wanted through the portion of his career where he had the power to do so. So, realistically, as much as Brett Favre is a legend, and I don't want to take anything away from that with Green Bay, I'm not going to take that legend's opinion on what Aaron Rodgers should do here when we look at the context of where he came from in this. But it does lead to another conversation of where Aaron is a good fit. And this is where things get murky. I heard Greeny yesterday talking about the fact that Aaron Rodgers, obviously a good fit on the Las Vegas Raiders. You guys know my fandom. I think I'm the only person at this company with a Raiders tattoo. I think I can safely say that. My level of fandom for the Raiders, very, very high. My level of fandom for the concept of Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback of the Raiders, zero. 0%. And this isn't because I want to be a hot take artist. This is simple. If you put Aaron Rodgers on the Raiders roster, like everybody's trying to put him on a roster, the Raiders, the Broncos, you put him on the Raiders roster, guess what? He's the quarterback of the second best team in the AFC West. Like Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, top to bottom, better roster than the Raiders would be with Aaron Rodgers. The Raiders have a lot of young players on the defensive side of the ball, and as much as I want to look through rose-colored glasses and say all of the draft picks will work out and everything will be great, we've seen proof of concept from the Chiefs, right? Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, better than Aaron Rodgers and the Raiders. So why would Aaron Rodgers want to go to a division where, at best, he's on the second-best team? Like, we're just forgiving the fact and completely losing the context of Tom Brady to the Buccaneers. Like, we're not even acknowledging that Brady went to a team with the Buccaneers that had a lot of really quality pieces already there. The weapons that were already there. Jameis Winston did throw for 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns there. Jameis Winston, the same quarterback we're not even sure is worthy of a starting job in New Orleans, put up some huge numbers in Tampa Bay because they got weapons. Oh, and they also have a defense. The Raiders do not. Why would Aaron Rodgers want to go somewhere where the organization is run any less stable than the Packers, the organization has less of a plan than the Packers, and the organization has less talent top to bottom than the Packers? That's what he'd be going to. And furthermore, if you're the Raiders, you'd have to mortgage your future to do it. You'd have to give up how many years worth of draft picks on a team that, again, your roster's not set. You can't do that. Oh, that's bad business, short-term and long-term. You're going to trade away your future so that you can be relevant in the conversation. But relevant doesn't equal championships. And the NFL is not like the NBA. You can't just go out, get one guy, and presume it's going to work. The last part of the Aaron Rodgers portion that you have to remember is the timing is different than Tom. Tom Brady signed with the Buccaneers early enough that Tom Brady could go out and recruit some people to come with him. You trade for Aaron Rodgers after June 1st, what are you doing? You think you're going to go out and pull off a bunch of trades at that point to make your team better? Nah, it's not happening. Aaron Rodgers to the Raiders makes zero sense. Aaron Rodgers sticking with the Packers makes all the sense to me. It's the Max Kellerman Show. Jason Fitz filling in. We'll get a little expertise. We're going to head over now to the Goodyear Hotline, where we're joined by Jordan Schultz. You can check him out across the ESPN platform. Obviously, one of our NFL and NBA analysts. Jordan, I got a bunch of things that we're going to get to you, my friend. I appreciate you hanging out with
me. What's up, Jason?
You good, man? It's been a minute. Like, I've missed talking to you. Everything good?
My guy, I'm doing great, and I'm thrilled to come on.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm all over this Aaron Rodgers Packers thing, saying that he can't go anywhere because the Packers simply don't have a win in allowing it. Tell me why I'm wrong.
I think, first of all, this situation has gotten so bad so fast. You know, if we thought the Russell Wilson situation in Seattle was bad, Jason, this is like trumps that by a lot. And I would go back to the Mike McCarthy years post-Super Bowl when things started to go sour. And then the issue of Aaron not having a receiver drafted since he's been there in the first round. So that's 16 years. These are real problems. And, you know, he has a good relationship with Matt LaFleur, but the GM, Brian Gutekunst, this guy has rubbed Aaron the wrong way the last few months and basically told him that, okay, you might be the franchise, but we drafted the quarterback to be the future franchise. And whether you're here another year or two is almost immaterial because we're already starting to think about the future without you and we're planning without you. So to me, I don't know if there's a reconciliation because Aaron Rodgers really wants to be respected. And I just don't think he feels any of that in Green Bay right now.
Okay, so let me push back a little bit on two elements of this. Number one, what would you rather be? An organization that drafts your quarterback too early and then has to figure it out? Or the Steelers, an organization that's sitting here now saying no matter what we do with our roster, we know that at best we're putting a Band-Aid on the position to quarterback, as important as it is, because we don't have a long-term answer?
Well, If I'm Green Bay, if I'm a Packer fan, of course I would want Aaron Rodgers to be there as long as possible. I just think let me refer to a conversation I had yesterday with the GM. He said I don't think he's going to be traded. I think he's going to stay. And I think they're going to make him the highest paid player in the league. So then I started asking around what does Aaron Rodgers want? And the thing that I kept hearing was the money isn't really what's driving him at this point. He wants to win our Super Bowl. But, of course, he wants to feel like he's still the guy. So, to answer your question, I think Packer fans would love to see Aaron Rodgers play another couple of years, develop Jordan Love, who we know is a big project, and was third string last year. He didn't even dress. So, I'm just saying realistically, Jason, I just don't know how you fix what's been broken.
Well, at some point, and by the way, we're talking to Jordan Schultz, ESPN NFL and NBA analyst on the Max Kellerman Show, Jason Fitz sitting in for Max. And, you know, I hear all of that because it really a beautiful situation is you do sit Jordan Love for a few years. You keep yourself in contention with Aaron Rodgers, and then you pass the torch in a kumbaya sort of way where everybody feels respected and loved in the process. I just don't know that that ever happens. And in my mind, I want to see a team sort of turn around and say, hey, we got to protect the future of our franchise even when it's uncomfortable. But you said earlier he just wants to be respected. And I hear that. I understand that as a human being. As a non-human being for a moment, though, just putting my GM hat, if I run the Packers, why do I care? I mean, at this point, what leverage, if Aaron Rodgers wants to sit out, that's on Aaron Rodgers. And there's a spot here where I'm curious to see what, if I'm the Packers, why I should bend to what Aaron Rodgers wants other than the right. Fact that it makes a star feel good.
So the leverage for Rodgers is that if he sits, let's say hypothetically to your point, he says, you know, I'm not going to show up for camp. Well, now all of a sudden, if that happens, it's too late to sign really a veteran quarterback, and you have to start Jordan Love on a roster that you've invested a tremendous amount of money in because you think you have a championship roster. So, you know, and we know Aaron Rodgers, what did he say? He wasn't thrilled by the pick last year. So, fine, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have to be perfectly happy. But for him to sit, now the Packers go from Super Bowl, one of the Super Bowl favorites to one of the longer odds teams in the league. So I think he has a little bit of leverage. I think both sides feel like they're right. And when that happens, that's when you start to have problems. So for me, you have a young GM, you have an aging quarterback who's coming off the best year of his life. And if he were to hypothetically play this season, right, and not play well, kind of play like he did the 2 years prior, then all of a sudden the Packers have all the leverage. But I still think right now, given how well he played last year, I believe, Jason, that he's got some leverage, knowing that if he doesn't play, Green Bay's in a lot of trouble.
So if you had to bet your house right now, where do you think Aaron Rodgers is playing this fall?
Next year?
Yep.
If I had to do that, I would say, for one, he's not going to be in Green Bay. If I had to say, give you a team, I think, you know, Tennessee, Seattle potentially. I mean, the Seattle thing is wild, right? Because I mentioned Russell Wilson, you know, from a cap standpoint, they actually would match up pretty well. And I think both teams could walk away happy. If Seattle gets Rodgers and Green Bay gets Wilson, both those teams, especially Green Bay, probably believe they have a championship roster. And obviously there's a 6-year age gap. So that's not impossible to me, but it's harder for me to find the team. I mean, maybe Denver is another one, but you'd have to give up the amount of draft capital to, I mean, I've sniffed around on this. You're talking about probably 3 ones, maybe some twos, an established starter. The amount of draft capital you'd have to give up to get Aaron Rodgers is so massive that it's almost like Green Bay is saying, we really don't want to deal him. And that's where I say, I don't know where it would be, but I just think from an outside standpoint, let's just be realistic and say that for him to return to Green Bay week 1 doesn't really seem like it's going to happen.
We're talking to Jordan Schultz, and I don't disagree. Like, if he's going to go somewhere, and I still think he ends up back with the Packers because I don't think they'll do a deal. But if he goes somewhere, Jordan, we definitely agree. Like, it would take a king's ransom, and you'd be mortgaging your future. So you better be able to win a Super Bowl right now with him to make it worth the to make it worth the risk on it. Now,
right.
That being said, whenever I talk to you, I love to hit on some NBA stuff, and we're going to turn the page to that in a little bit. So I got to get your thoughts on really the West, because all year I've been saying as long as the Lakers are healthy, they're going to be just fine, and I've just dismissed the West. Now I'm starting to get puckered up, man. I'm starting to get a little nervous here. Maybe I'm wrong. If the Lakers are healthy, are they still clearly okay to you?
Well, the if with them is so massive if they are healthy that I would say, sure, in theory, if LeBron and Davis are both 90%+, then they have enough on that roster, enough shooting, enough playmaking to go back-to-back. But given how good the West is, you know, let's think about Phoenix. Let's talk about even Denver still being competitive, the Clippers, Utah, Portland percolates. Given how deep the West is, if the Lakers right now, let's say they end up being a 6 seed, they don't have the platform and the path to have this, like, easy path to get to the finals. You know, They don't have the flexibility either. I've said this all along. When you take LeBron off the floor, usually he's never off the floor because he plays so many minutes. But when you take him off and he's injured, now you really only have one super creator in Schroeder. So they don't have they have shooters, but, you know, Kuzma, KCP, these are good players, but these are not guys that are going to really elevate anyone else. So if LeBron is not healthy or 80%, it's not good enough to me. Their roster isn't good enough to me and flexible enough to win a championship. They are elite when Anthony Davis is a 5. I mean, we saw that in the playoffs. It's kind of like they're, don't worry about it. We'll put Anthony at the 5 and we're good to go. But if Davis off the Achilles and he's looked a little sluggish, if he's not 100% or close to it, then no, they're not good enough to win a championship.
I mean, even if all of that health works out, you mentioned some of the other guys. I mean, we've heard Kuzma a little bit starting to be a little ruffled, right? Like, nothing's been easy for the Lakers. Even if they're all healthy, can they come to some sort of a gel together in your mind to play well enough on the court with the guys that they have right now?
So you're saying if Davis and LeBron are not great?
Yeah, if they're healthy, but they're not, like, they're not what we've seen them be in the past.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. And I've been, you know, they have a really good team on paper. But when you're talking about beating Utah, for example, in a prolonged series, or the Clippers, who are, you know, elite offensively, basically the exact same numbers as the Nets. So we're otherworldly offense. You're going to have to be able to score with these teams. You know, you're going to have to be super efficient. And then you know, from a defensive standpoint, Davis erased a lot in the playoffs. You know, you go back to the finals, he really erased a lot. He was unbelievable. So if he's not able to do that, who are you trusting? Are you trusting someone else? I mean, they don't have JaVale McGee. He was that guy last year. They just don't have it. So I'm concerned if I'm a Laker fan, because I don't think you have really enough on either end, but especially offensively, to keep pace with those elite teams.
Now you're making me rethink everything. I'm telling you, Jordan Schultz, that's why you're the best, my friend. Thanks for hanging out with me. I appreciate you today.
I appreciate you, bro. Talk to you soon.
The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Okay, I just mentioned that maybe the Lakers had me overlooking the rest of the West. I'm all out on Brooklyn. I'll tell you why, and I'll tell you who I think we are undervaluing next. We'll do that. But did you hear about my computer career? I don't know anything about computers, and that's fair. And a lot of us don't, but you don't have to. Before starting at my computer career, many graduates couldn't turn a computer on and off, and that's it. Maybe that's all they could do. Now they're IT pros, and you could do it too. I'm telling you, all you have to do is go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. You can start your new life in as little as 4 months. Grants cover up to 53% of the cost. Those are available to those who qualify. We say it all the time, but you got to really hear it. This is a great time to go out and change your life. It's not rocket science. It's my computer career. I'll give you the rocket science on the East and why I think one team's being overlooked next. The Max Kellerman Show. Jason Fitz filling in for Max.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
You know, it's funny, coming into this season in the NBA, I think most of us presumed we were going to be looking at a Lakers-Nets final, and there's a lot of great storylines of that, heroes versus villains, sort of the good guys and the bad guys, and what happens when you get star power at that level. But what happens when suddenly you're getting a more interesting NBA season than you thought, and maybe you've overlooked good teams? That's where we are right now. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. You can also check it out on the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80. Jason Fitz sitting in for Max today. You can hang out with me, 888-SAY-ESPN. If you're not good at spelling the little letters, I'm not. 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. And I said all year, we just talked to Jordan Schultz, one of our NFL NBA analysts, just a few minutes ago. And I've said all year, the Lakers going to be just fine. That's been my answer all year. As long as they're healthy, they're going to be just fine. Now, it's important to admit before I show my hypocrisy here why I have that opinion. Because last year we saw it. The two pieces to the Lakers that matter are AD and LeBron. And we saw them win a championship. We see them win a championship with a very short turnaround. Now they go into another season where shock, gasp, short turnaround, long season, weird year, injuries become an issue. I don't know why this is a surprise to any of us. But realistically, as you look through the injuries, you can start to say, okay, as long as LeBron and AD are fine and healthy, everything's going to be A-OK, because we've seen proof of concept from the two pieces that matter, no matter who else is around them. I'm starting to get nervous about that. Part of the reason why is because, frankly, nothing when you watch the Lakers right now looks easy. I mean, nothing looks effortless. And last year in the bubble, even when they lost games, it felt like they were a cat toying with a mouse. This year, it feels like the Lakers are just grinding out every single opportunity. Nothing feels easy. AD doesn't look as graceful as usual. We all know that LeBron came back, and now he's going to miss a couple of more games. You know, you start talking about LeBron and the impact if they don't have a healthy LeBron and AD, and then you start looking at the play-in tournament, and you say, my God, the Lakers could end up in the play-in tournament? It's real. So then you got to start looking at some of the other teams in the West that have made it look easy all year. The Jazz, the Suns, and the resurrection of CP3, which I think is one of the most interesting things for the Suns, a team that's built young. And one of the arguments I've been making loudly is, where's your hope come if you're a Grizzlies fan or a Pelicans fan when you're watching your young players go out and be stars and you realize that you're still at the bottom of the barrel in the West? Well, your hope comes from the Suns. You find you one guy that you can plug and play. You find you a CP3. And all of a sudden, you find you the number two seed. They're only a game back of the top seed. So there are teams in the West, particularly the Jazz and the Suns, that have made things look easy. I'll include the Nuggets in that. And we're not even talking about the Clippers anymore. Like, the Clippers are this forgotten entity because they didn't get it done last year. But the Clippers are an important conversation to have when we flip the script to the East. Now, we all bought in last year that the Clippers were going to be just fine because Kawhi and Paul George were going to get it figured out. Continuity was an issue for them all year long. They didn't get guys on the court together all year long. And what happened? It impacted them in the playoffs. Strange year, bubble, I know. But it impacted. So now let's transfer that to the East. Yeah, the Nets sitting there. Everybody thought the Nets were a shoe-in. I'm out on the Nets. They are not going to the NBA Finals. And for me, the reason is simple. Their big three have played seven games together. And that has to have some bearing. A game's on the line. Game seven of a series. Harden's been the most important part of the Nets. But we've seen what Harden looks like in game sevens of certain series, right? As Sarah Spain, my co-host on Spain and Fitz, which you can listen to from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday on ESPN Radio, says, Harden forgot how to basketball. Right? You've seen those moments. So what's going to happen when KD, the superstar, wants the love and the shine in that moment, wants the ball? Everybody wants the ball in that moment. You know, that's part of the difficulty that comes with the Nets, part of the reason I'm out. But another part of the reason is the bracket. Let's call it that. Anybody that's a college basketball fan, talk about the bracket, right? If you're a college football fan, you look at the conference that your team plays in and you figure out the gauntlet you've got to go through. There are certain times that the bracket just doesn't favor certain teams. And that's important this year in the East. If the playoffs were to start today, the second round matchup that we would be watching is the Nets versus the Bucks. Think about that matchup, the Nets versus the Bucks. Now, compare that to what the 76ers could likely have, which, based solely on seeding, would be against the Knicks, could be against the Hawks. Do we feel like the Knicks or the Hawks present near the challenge, near the grind in a series, near the effort in a series it'll take, that Nets-Bucks is going to take? No, I don't. And I believe in the Bucks. I've been a long time, like I'm one of the guys that's standing there waving the Giannis flag. I'm waving the Giannis flag saying if social media existed when Michael Jordan was struggling to get through the Pistons, my God, we would have just dismantled the entire Bulls thing and said that Michael Jordan was a failure. Like, social media has created a completely different conversation around Giannis Antetokounmpo, the MVP. I find it laughable at times that Aaron Rodgers, the MVP, loses in the NFC Championship game and we look at the Packers and we say, my God, how are the Packers failing Aaron Rodgers? Giannis Antetokounmpo wins an MVP and loses in the playoffs, and we turn around and say, oh, Giannis is failing. He just can't get it done. It's a stupid narrative. You're talking about somebody that playing at the level of Giannis. I'm all in on the Bucks and the impact Drew Holiday's having. But the Bucks would have to go through the Nets. Not an easy thing to do. And if they get through that series, then they have to take on the 76ers. And that's where this gets interesting. See, we have this mindset that unless we've seen it in the playoffs, it doesn't matter. It's a Max Kellerman show. Jason Fitz sitting in for Max. We have this mindset that unless we saw it in the playoffs, it's absolutely insignificant. So for that reason, we just sort of throw the 76ers and the Bucks aside. Man, the Sixers got a path. They got a path. They're one of the few teams in the NBA that actually cares at all about playing defense, and they have a path. It's hard for me to look at the 76ers and not feel like this is the right spot for them to find their way into the NBA Finals. And then, let's take it a step forward, Philly fans. I mean, if I'd have told you coming into the year that you got the right path that's going to get you to the Finals, and guess what? You may not have to take on the Lakers or the Clippers. Oh, you'd be dancing. You'd be doing cartwheels. If I told you coming in as a 76ers fan that there was a real path that got you to the NBA Finals in a matchup against, let's say, the Jazz, the Suns. I mean, be honest. Maybe be real for a second. You know you'd raise a glass. You'd be supporting that through and through. You'd be all in on that. And that is what I think is interesting about what we're seeing right now. There's a real path. And we've gotten to the point where we devalue the regular season so much that we're not even acknowledging that this makes for a more interesting regular season. Like, we thought we knew what we were going to get. And for once, we're getting something different. I, for one, think that's something to celebrate for the NBA. And that's something that makes the NBA playoffs even more exciting. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. Just see for yourself. All you got to do is go to progressive.com. All right. In the meantime, Kyrie has made a statement. And it's a statement that involves chess. And it only proves why his thinking is absolutely wrong. We'll let you hear it, and we'll react to it next. It's a Max Kellerman Show. Jason Fitz in for Max on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also on the ESPN app and Sirius XM channel 80. Jason Fitz in for Max. You guys can hang out with me. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. 888-729-3776. You don't even have to agree with me if you don't want to. We can argue civilly. But let's start with some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. The Straight Talk came from Kyrie. Now, we all know that Kyrie constantly has something to say. And he's doing his talking on the court, but not off the court, as he was fined $35,000 for each of his, quote, repeated refusals to speak with reporters. So he won't talk to reporters, and as a result, because that is part of what they collectively bargain, he is required to do as an NBA player. Again, it's not about what I want or you want. They collectively bargain the availability that they will provide for the media. So he's part of a union that union said yes to media availability, but he individually says no. And he's fined $35,000, which to him is about the equivalent of most of us like deciding we want to add the lemon loaf at Starbucks, right? Like, it's not even a full cup of coffee. $35,000 to Kyrie is lemon loaf, which is a delight, by the way. But his quote was, "I don't talk to pawns," he wrote on Instagram. "My attention is worth more. Again, I don't talk to pawns." Well, this is the moment where I can be a chess nerd, and it is rare that I can nerd out here. My dad was a grandmaster chess player and was incredible. And growing up, my dad tried to teach me how to play chess, and I am not good at it at all. But the one thing my dad always imparted into my head is that great chess players use their pawns. My dad had an incredibly strong pawn game, in fact, as a chess player. It's how he beat Bobby Fischer one time out of the 10 times they played. I hear that story. You know, your dad tells you the same story over and over and over again. My dad had won the naval tournament. He was in the Navy. He got to play Bobby Fischer in 10-game series. He won one of those. And afterwards, Bobby Fischer said, "You got a great pawn game." I heard this story so much that when I saw the quote, it immediately rang to me. See, if you want to be great at chess, if you're playing chess in life, as Kyrie is convinced he is doing, then you better have a strong pawn game. You could use those pawns. You could turn those pawns into advocates. You could use the media to spread your message, to help your marketing, to help your brand, to spread whatever you want the media to say for you. You could use the media as your pawns. And if you have a strong pawn game, you will win in the game of chess. Instead, he's pig-headed about it. And instead, he chooses not to acknowledge anyone, again, through the collectively bargained agreement that says he must. It's not about what you want. It's not about what I want. It's not about him speaking. It's about the fact that his union says he has to speak. That's some Straight Talk. No contract, no compromise. I just want him to do his job. That's all. That's part of the job. All right. You guys have been chiming in. You want to chime in on this. Mitch in Jersey, you got to take care of, as we were talking about the NBA earlier, on what teams we're not paying enough attention to. Mitch, thanks for calling the show. What do you got, man?
What's happening, Jason? I never seen a year where there's so many injuries. I think when the Clippers, if they get everybody healthy and playing, and I'd like to see George and Mr. Kawhi Leonard sign an extension because we gave up a lot for them, they never really seem to score 40, 50 points a game. It really shows them. I think if the Lakers is all healthy, I mean, that's some lineup there at the front line. But I never seen a league of the teams that have never won it have a pretty good chance. But I think the Lakers and the Nets are going to spoil a lot of people's chances with health being good and everything. The Nets never won it. Denver's never won it. Utah, Phoenix. They've had good teams over these years, but there's always something. And it's going to be incredible or out. I just hope my Clippers have a chance. Not just get past the second round, but get in the finals and win it. What do you think? And thanks for taking my call.
Mitch, thanks for the call, man. And look, I don't think you're wrong. In fact, on Spain and Fitz, I've been asking this question. By the way, you can listen to Spain and Fitz 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday on ESPN Radio. We've been asking a lot of our experts, you know, if the Lakers aren't healthy, what team actually benefits the most for it in the West? And the answer I get the most is the Clippers. See, this is part of the problem of the way we digest the NBA. Because the Clippers didn't get it done in the strangest year we will ever see last year. The strangest year in the NBA you will ever see in your life, God willing, right? A bubble, a huge shutdown in the middle of the season, not knowing who could condition how. Like, in the strangest year ever, the Clippers didn't get it done. And now, oh, it's just the Clippers being the Clippers. Got to write them off. Is that real? I mean, at some point, we have to also acknowledge, and I don't think we acknowledge this enough, I don't care about the past of your brand, whatever your brand is. I don't care about what the Nets have done in the past because it means nothing to KD, to Harden, and Kyrie. I don't care about the Clippers' failures in the past because it means nothing to PG and Kawhi. Just like Kawhi didn't care about any of the narratives around Toronto, and look how that worked out. It's not rocket science. It's my computer career. It's not rocket science when it comes to all of this, right? Like, at some level, the NBA is star-dominant, and two of the best players in PG and Kawhi are together on a star-dominant team in L.A. And because they didn't do it last year, we've suddenly decided they simply can't get it done? That makes absolutely no sense to me. And I think the Lakers, or the Clippers, I should say, will be a big benefactor if the Lakers' health is an issue. And the closer we get to the end of the regular season, the more I feel like that if is being erased for the Lakers. Even if they can get themselves on the court, is it a healthy version? It doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like it would be a healthy version. So now the Clippers will have to ask themselves, how do they feel about a Mavs matchup? Always Luka being the wild card that he is, incredible. But I feel like if you're a Clippers fan, you feel pretty good about that. Then how do you feel about the Jazz matchup? Well, I'd argue that they match up pretty well there. So I think the Clippers have a path. We're just Lakers obsessed. That's all. Ryan in Minnesota, we were talking about Aaron Rodgers earlier. I know you want to chime in. Thanks for hanging on, man. What's your take on the Rodgers situation?
Hey, man, I just want to say thanks for taking my call, and I couldn't agree more with you about the Kyrie point and doing the interviews and stuff. But so my thing is, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to the Raiders, and I was just wondering, what would the Raiders have to give up to get a guy like that?
Thanks for the call, man. I don't think he's going to the Raiders again, but I will say this. To the mocks that I've seen and the people I've talked to that I think have pretty good information have said Derek Carr, likely a player, maybe Darren Waller, and then two first-rounders, two second-rounders. That's sort of the scope of what I've seen and heard, which is a ton to give up for Aaron Rodgers. That's why it's just not a good fit for the Raiders. I would love to tell everybody, as a Raiders fan, that this is a simple, simple solution. It is not a simple solution. It doesn't work in Vegas. I don't care what anybody else tells you. I watched more Raiders than the rest of this company combined in the last 2 years. It does not work for the Vegas Raiders. So that being said, there are some teams it might work for. There are some teams where Aaron Rodgers could go, and it has an immediate impact. We'll tell you about it and tell you what we think of it next. It's the Max Kellerman Show. Jason Fitz sitting in for Max.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.